Hello and welcome to Sbrovcast, the English language Sbrovka but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And it's match week 5, baby.
Yes, and we are back, stroke starting.
Just about back. Season 25-26.
Yeah.
Appreciate everyone's patience.
I was going to say season 8. But yeah, but also 25-26.
It is also season 8 if you are, and I use this term loosely, box settings Broyovcast.
And if you're not, why not? You should start from the very beginning when we didn't know how to set the microphones up. We still don't, but that's fine. And
there's a quiz every so often.
Yeah, exactly. Occasional music. You might like it. But yes, there is a lot to get through today. It's not a 10-hour Scottish Lower League podcast, Sean, but it's, you know, it may be close enough.
Yeah, we were just talking about that before we started recording. I'm on 5 hours of 38 minutes of that one, and we're halfway down League One. So there's still a tier and a half to go on that podcast. It's sensational stuff. And also something that has also been sensational has been the performances so far of a certain Zbrojovka Brno.
They certainly have. We're going to look back at away to Česká Budějovice, home to Sparta B, away to Příbram, and home to Cylon Táborsko.
We're also going to preview one match that nobody really cares about and one that everybody cares about.
There's also going to be a beer of the podcast, and if we've got time, I've got a quiz for you as well.
Might even throw in a hot and a not.
Oh,
might.
Yes. My God, do we spoil you, listener? So without
my God, do we spoil you, listener? I've had no contact with them for 2.5 months at this point.
But hey, here's a free Ferrero Rocher. The dulcet tones of Ben and myself there on the train back from Česká Budějovice, luckily in a sort of compartment thing with nobody else.
Had a drink, had you?
Yep. So the first game of the season was us away at Česká Budějovice. Chaos is Česká Budějovice.
Yes.
After having come down with a record low total of 5 points, I think it was.
Five or six
last year.
Bad.
And such was the optimism and joy, or, you know, potential joy, that around 350 to 400 people made the trip to South Bohemia, all the way across the country, on a Friday afternoon. Well done to all involved.
Well done to you and Ben.
Yes, we went there. We were considering staying overnight, but there was a train back that actually got us back into Brno at 2:45 in the morning. But that was okay, because it was Saturday the next day. So,
yeah, so you just sleep it off.
Well, my stupid work brain that always wakes up at 7:30 because of my alarm woke me up at 7:30 without the alarm and couldn't get back to sleep again, so that was great. Yeah, we started with basically a completely new lineup. A back five of Hrdina, Klima, Hoffman, the captain for the season, Vedral and Juroška. And as we'll see, that looks very much like our first choice back five for the season. They, with one exception, that's been the back five so far for the four games we're going to talk about. And aside from a wobbly 15 minutes at the start of the second half, we look pretty much well in control for the whole thing. Hrdina pulls off one absolutely excellent save about halfway through the first half.
Yes, that's when there's a foul in the build-up. There's an advantage played, I think.
And
it gets yes. It's where I think it was Vedral just like scythes down Fierbacher.
Yeah.
Who looks like he's made a mistake moving there.
Oh, yeah, God, But, I mean, you know, everyone is making a mistake at that club right now, including, what was very funny, just before kickoff, what looked like a group of about 8 teenage ultras turned up at the the gap in the stadium between the, let's say, main stand and the right-hand end as an away fan, if you're looking at it.
Mm.
So they turned up. We were all in the away pen at the time, and they hung a flag on the thing and spent about 5 minutes chanting at us, which just brought unalloyed hilarity, and then they all left. So that was great. I don't know whether that was a protest or whether they were trying to wind us up, but it went very badly and it was quite funny.
I preferred the lads in the home section that ended up sneaking in that big bag of cans from Lidl because there wasn't enough stewards.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah. Talking about not enough stewards, the away section and the beer situation is not, that wasn't good either. 45 minutes wait for a beer.
That is prosty of levels of weight to take you back about three seasons.
But hey, we won 2-0. We scored one in each half, both from corners.
Very good deliveries on the corners as well.
Yes, both by Jakub Selnar, who has come in.
I thought he was excellent, yeah.
Yeah. It was one for Hoffman and one for Cronus, both kind of near post glancing headers. Hoffman's much better, Cronus... You know, he just...
Bit of a backy.
Yeah, just sort of skimmed off his head and went in. But hey, they all count, and it's a completely new first 11, basically. Velich toiled manfully up top, didn't look quite up to speed, and then a five-minute cameo from Justin Araujo Wilson was full of energy and vigour and so forth. Mm-hmm. He looked really good when he came on. I would like to see more of him this year because... For the first time, he actually looked up to speed. He's got a full preseason in, and he looked arsed, which I was quite happy about.
I think, I mean, this is maybe something to talk about once we've actually gone over the first four matches in full, because I think we will have to eventually start talking about sort of squad rotation and things like that, because, you know, it's a long season. You don't get much of a break in the, at least in the, you know, between the summers. Yeah. But at the same time, it's kind of madness to change so much of the, you know, of the team when you're playing so well and on a winning way. And we've only really made like one change per match, and it's usually been forced or some one person has been rested.
Yeah.
So you can't really do so much now. But yeah, I mean, Wilson, like, if you have someone like Wilson coming off the bench, this is, you know, this is good. You're going to start seeing a bit more, and we will talk a bit more about people like Rymarenko as well, who will, I don't think, featured in this because of an injury or a knock.
He was injured in, or like he joined the club injured. So pre-season was like just getting back up to speed and so forth.
Yeah, and then you had a couple of like, you know, sort of cameos as well, like Kamakimana was on in the last, you know, sort of few moments as well, I think.
Right? He actually started this one.
Did he start? Yeah. Yes. Okay.
You wouldn't have noticed.
It's been 4 weeks, listener.
Well, my kind of side note to that is because we've already got a pretty settled first 11 already, the options we now have mean that when injuries and suspensions come around, you'd better be fucking ready to try and make that spot your own.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
Which I quite like, because conversely, if you're a starter, you better not let your form or your training dip or somebody will have your place.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so strong in every position.
Yeah.
We've already seen it with Kanakamana starting that first one and not having been seen apart from the odd 15 minutes as a sub since.
Yeah.
Because Fiedik doesn't like what he's doing in training or doesn't think he's working hard enough. So, you know, for the first time in a while, we have every position solid, but every position under threat and with the... Yeah. You know, if you've been training well, that's yours for the taking. And if you're not playing well, that's yours to lose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, which is incredible.
I mean, maybe just a quick word as well on our opponents for this match as well. Because I actually thought that Cheska Budějovice, and I said this in the group chat, I didn't think they looked nearly as bad as I was expecting they could be at their worst.
No, they were okay.
And then in every subsequent game since this match, they have looked at their worst. So, you know, after that, they just... Couldn't lay a glove on Opava as well. 3-0. Looked very much like they were going to actually get a win against Bannock B before conceding, of course, pretty much the last kick of the ball there to make it a 2-2 draw. I guess with a point, you're above expectation, at least at this stage. But then 6-1 away to Slavia B is just... Okay, you were down to 10 men for two-thirds of that match, but still, that's not good. Slavia B don't look incredible this term. Yeah. So yeah, I do fear for Cheska Budějovice. Tentatively want to say that there's I think there's at least one worse team or two worse teams in this division than them, but we'll get onto that later.
Yeah, we certainly will. The second game we're going to talk about, we're going to rip through these two at a time, I think, yeah. Because we've got stuff to do and a fairly regulated time limit. Was the first home game, and it saw a bouncing Srpska.
On a Friday as well, no less.
5,600 odd.
Excellent.
Really, really good. BRQ absolutely motoring through. They've replaced the tin shack. It's now a wooden shack.
It is. Which they might have to replace again, if you saw.
Oh yeah, for why?
Because you can't actually see the whole pitch if you're in a wheelchair.
Oh, okay. I see. But the beer queue moves really quickly now. They've got new pumps and stuff in, and it's Moravia.
Yes. What was actually just we'll cut ahead because you couldn't make the game at the weekend.
I was in Budapest.
And I couldn't make this game because I was playing a darts tournament. So Saturday actually was my first taste of the new beer.
Mm.
What were your thoughts on the new beer?
Tastes very nice.
I like the fact that they didn't do what Moravia usually does, which makes me dislike Moravia.
Which is?
Hop it to fuck. They didn't.
Yeah, no.
Very
it's just
clean
a,
lager. It's, yeah, it's their it's own one. Like 10. It's their football special, isn't it? They call it Flinta or something like
that,
I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it's just a good 10-degree lager. It's perfectly nice.
Do they just have it on as Borovka days? If it's called Flinta beer?
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be very funny if like they you have to get Staro Brno 10 still.
if you're a fucking artist, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so we changed to a slightly more aggressive 4-1-4-1 instead of the 4-1-2-3 that we played against Chebe. Sorry, 4-2-3-1 that we played against Chebe. The only change being Zhitny replacing replacing Janetsky as part of the midfield in the centre alongside Selnar, Kronos and Degran as wingers, and Chavosh as the one kind of defensive side-to-side.
The box-to-box
shuttler.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, box-to-box, side-to-side. He does it all. And Velich up front. Defence remained the same. We scored after half an hour as Velich got his first of the season with a near-post header. And we never looked back from there.
Great cross for that as well. Like I like that how we got to that position on the field as well. That we don't usually do, like, because what we usually used to do, right, is we used to take the ball, we used to take it all the way to the line and then panic and try and sort of cut it in or whatever.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we take it all the way to the end line, stop, turn, play it back so someone has a better angle to then cross it in.
Yeah, it's very Gary Neville, David Beckham in their Manchester United prime, overlapping wide on the right. Yeah. Taking people, creating space, laying it back for the, let's say, fullback to, you know, dink it over.
And what is the result of this, David? We're actually scoring goals from headers and set pieces.
Yeah.
What's this about?
Yeah, madness. Absolute madness. The second half brought goals from Jakub Klima. Ball across the box, finding him with time to take a touch and fire home, leaving the Sparta B defence fairly statuesque, honestly. And Jan Jeroszka getting the third, a lofted cross over a flapping goalkeeper, and he sort of slides in at the back post and looks jolly pleased with himself, as he should. So both fullbacks getting in on the act, as well as Velich. And it was this game, because obviously Chebe, when you're away and you're squashed into a little section at the end of a pitch, you don't really see necessarily what everyone's doing. But this was the game. There were a couple of players against Chebe, but this really was the game where I decided I really need to shout out, as having hit the ground running, three players I knew very little about but have started to look immediately indispensable.
Mm-hmm.
Who are Oli Velich.
Yep.
Big lad up top. He's all bustle and elbows. He's not the most mobile, but my God, he works hard. And, yeah, proper number nine, which is nice because his squad number is nine as well.
Yep.
They haven't fucked about with the squad numbers too much.
Yeah.
They haven't given Kaká number nine. He's number three. Lovely. Right.
And who thought he would be as impactful as he did when he was the sort of the oh, he feels like cover coming from Varnsdorf, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely slotted in beautifully. Filip Vedral, very unglamorous signing from Jihlava, and absolutely does not look out of place alongside the, frankly, three first division defenders he's playing in a back four with. Absolutely looks, you know, very solid, very calm, etc. And most of all...
Please be who you think I'm going to say it is.
Is it Patrick Chavosh?
It is Patrick Chavosh.
Looks... oh, my God. Like, just...
It's like an improved Texel.
Yeah. Steady as hell, mature, calm, breaks up play, always has a pass on, always free.
And he can carry it if he wants to as well. This is the thing. Like, and I like if he chooses to carry that, the way that we're playing as well, with we have this with 4-1 as well at the top or whatever, you have the lads dropping back to sort of marshal him in as well so he can find that pass going out to the wing. Really good. I think he's been unbelievable so far.
He's been absolutely superb. Again, one of the most unglamorous signings. It's like, wow, defensive midfielder from Karvina, whoopee. But holy shit, absolutely the right player for the right role. I mean, just an absolute revelation. As much as a defensive midfielder can be a revelation, but holy shit, he's been good.
Well, he's like, the thing as well is that he is old, but he's not too old, right? So Patrick Chavosh is 30. But he's got that, he's had that top flight experience. So there's a sense of maturity in how he plays as well. He's not panicked or anything like that. He knows, you know, and he, because he plays deep and then carries it or whatever, he's always tends to have the space that even if someone's coming on to him, he can sort of stop, turn. He's got options of where to do it. He can find a pass. He knows the angles. And so just sensational.
Absolutely beautiful. So we, have won the first two games with an aggregate score of 5-0.
Yes.
We'll talk about the second two in a while, but what would you like to do next? Do you want a hot or not or a quiz?
I will leave that to you, David.
Okay. Let's do a quiz. Hooray! Right, let's play a quiz. Intro music. Now then, as I said, I was in Budapest for the F1 over the weekend, which necessitates 2 4-hour train journeys.
Yeah.
So Dan was watching things on his laptop and listening to music and so forth, and I was playing Football Manager, which I haven't done for quite a while, but I've just got back into my Beno game recently.
Okay.
So I decided, and again, this is just for the lols because it's an absolute guess. This is called Real or Regen.
Yeah, I knew it. So the moment you were like football wise, I was like, this must be a regen thing, surely.
Right. So I'm going to give you 10 names of footballers. You just have to tell me if they're real people or regens.
Am I going to get a backstory to them?
No.
Oh, it's a shooting fish in a barrel sort of thing. Okay.
Kind of. I mean, you might have heard of a couple of them, but it's okay. Anyway,
I won't have heard of any of these players. Let's see.
Right.
Oh, wait. Where's your scouting pool?
Oh, these are not necessarily from my game.
Oh, okay.
I just googled like funniest regen names.
Oh, I see. Lazy.
Sorry, but it's Uruguay, Argentina, and Chile in South America, and then the Balkans and Eastern Europe.
Oh no.
But, which is not relevant to this.
Right,
but,
okay. Let's just go for it.
Right, number one, Waldo.
That feels Brazilian, yes. Well, so, he is real.
He is real, yes. Player from the 60s.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Hard to spot.
Sunday salami.
Sunday salami. Is salami spelt as in the cured meat?
Yes.
I'm going to say that's a regen.
It is a regen, yes. Number three, Jiz Hornkamp.
It's not spelt with two Z's, is it, though?
It is spelt with two Z's.
Oh, okay. That means it's Hornkamp.
Yeah.
See, this is the one that could go either way. Have I heard this one before? Real?
Yes. He was one of my hots from last series because I discovered his name and I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, okay. I was like, I'm sure this part of me was like, I've heard this before.
All right, number four. Dick Biggins.
Regen.
Yes, from the absolute Monty Python school of naming footballers.
So I was like, these days, no one's called Dick unless you're possibly Dutch.
Yeah. So. All right, Dino Jurasic or Jurasic, but spelt like Jurassic, but with one S.
Uh huh. So but with a
so Dino Jurasic. Do you see why I chose that as a one?
Dino Jurasic, because like this is the thing, because this one set like I mean this one just sounds fine, you know, because we have that an appropriation of that name in Czech. Czech football, even Jurassic and stuff. But at the same time, it feels like we're following a pattern. If I go real, this is how it plays tricks on you. Just out of principle, I think that's a real name.
It's not. It's a regen name, I'm afraid.
Rubbish.
Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Lou Bega here.
Claudio Pitbull.
Regen.
Real. Still playing.
Really? Yeah. Still playing as if I know how old he is even.
He was born in 1982. He's 43 and he's still really? Hacking about in the Brazilian league.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Next one, Iago Pikachu.
Real.
Yes. Incredible.
God. Real or got to catch them all. I want to be the very best at this quiz.
Martin Martinez Martinez.
Yeah, please be real. Real.
No, regen, I'm afraid. Frank Sinatra.
I mean, real.
No, regen, I'm afraid.
Start spreading the news.
And finally...
Regen.
And finally, Leaky Bum.
Korean, is he?
Yeah.
Real.
He is real,
hey!
Yes.
There you go.
So there we go. That was Real or Regen.
At a time where we're pressed for time on this podcast already, you have to ask yourself, were parts of this podcast really necessary for this week?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we talk about two more football games?
Let's do that. Well, we were just talking off recording about how we're going to do this game, which, spoiler alert, was Příbram 2, Zbrojovka Brno 7. And I said, well, because I watched the whole game and at live at the time, I wasn't going to go through it goal by goal, but you have a little bit about each goal.
A little bit about each, like three or four words. And it is already sad, I have to say, to have the not conceding a goal all season dream shattered.
Sure.
Because that's what some people on social media were joking about.
Yes.
Can we go unbeaten and without conceding a goal? Obviously yes. Not. That's nonsense, but hey.
What I will say, just on that point as well, because I know we're obviously going to be focusing on our team here, is that I thought both goals by Příbram were pretty good. Actually, I thought they were quite nice finishes and things like you know, like that. But do you want to give us a flavour of the goals as a scene, and then I'll maybe say a few words?
Seven goals, as you say, from seven different goal scorers, which is incredibly satisfying.
Yes.
It's Velich, Klima, Rymarenko, Chavosh, Vachoshek, Kanakimana, and Juroshka. They all score. The only change to the side for this game, by the way, was Hoffman off. Yeah, Hoffman out and Slushy Boy in. Velich, absolute centre-forwards goal, leans back into his defender, knocks him over and bundles the ball over the line all in one clumsy but effective movement.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. Klima's goal, neat header from a ball he'd almost jumped past.
Yeah.
It's a cross and he sort of readjusts his body. Uh-huh. Really nice. Rymarenko,
first goal for the club. I should say that takes us to half time and it's 2-0.
Yes.
Rymarenko, after what, 30 seconds of being on the pitch?
Yep. Absurdly tight angle. Absurdly tight angle, but he finds the far post. and in, which is absolutely lovely.
About two people will get this, but shades of Niall McGinn scoring at Tynecastle for that one there.
That's for you, Sean. Thanks very much. For the fourth, Chavosh crashes a header in, comes absolutely hurtling into the box and crashes his header in. Vacholsek is on the end of a passing move through the box that leaves all the three Ramon defenders upside down and inside out and just pokes it home. Kane Kamana spins on the corner of the area and finishes thanks to a fairly hefty deflection. A
huge deflection, and but then the pick of the bunch.
Still the all count. Yes, the absolute pick of the bunch, which is the exact words I have written down here.
Oh, nice.
Is Jan Juroška with an audacious lob from wide right of the box that nestles in the opposite bottom corner.
Yeah.
On 90+3, you thought, you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to have a go here.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely stupendous. Mm-hmm.
I want to make a shout out to the best player on the pitch that day, which by some distance was Martin Melichar in the Příbram goal. You can prove anything with stats, David. 61% ball possession, 26 shots on goal, 15 shots on target, and Melichar made excellent saves, like genuinely, and I'm not just saying this for effect on the podcast, for at least 5 or 6 chances.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, are Příbram bad. Holy fuck. Like, I was trying to, and I think I mentioned this on Twitter, about, I was trying to genuinely look back and think back to how, like, who's the poorest team that we've played since this? And the best I could come to was like Tatran Bohunice in the cup. And right. Did we not stick like 9 past them or something like that?
It was a fairly whopping score, and we never really got out of second gear. Yeah.
And this was this as well, because like Shibram's 2 goals are good. They're both of these goals, I must must say, is completely against the run of play, because this whole match was played almost exclusively in the Příbram half. Like very much a team that have, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later as well, actually, in one of my previews, but have just bought the license without actually thinking we need players to be up at this sort of level. One thing that was quite good to see, actually, was Hřežníček getting substituted with about 10 minutes to go, who had done pretty much nothing but was going to get spared the blushes of the whole full-time sort of parade and things like that, because he does unfortunately play for them these days. He is still a Zbrojovka Brno legend.
Yes.
Shouldn't have to go through that. But it is so satisfying against a team like Příbram, who look like, I would be highly surprised, and I know we're only 4 games into a season, if they are not like rock bottom, because there was no redeeming features really in that match. I mean, those goals aside.
Yeah.
They don't seem to know how to advance a ball. They were doing a lot of the passing that we would associate with Zbrojovka about 3-4 seasons ago, where you would duff up a 3-4 yard pass, or it would just go straight out for a throw-in and things like that. And it was just, it was crazy, because I was watching this in the pub with good friend of the podcast, Petr Kucha. Because I was walking to go and watch it at Pivni Stai, and apparently he was walking on the way back, saying that they fucked up the projector or something like this. I know it's on in Arena. So we went to Arena, and it was him and a couple of his mates there. And we were just talking through the match as it sort of went on. And our summarization for the first half was that we were delighted it was 2-0. It could have been 5-0. Maybe you just score another, just after sort of halftime or around the 70th minute, and you sort of coast out, no injuries, bigger games to come. And it was just floodgates, honestly. Like, I mean, even having a comfortable lead, even when it went 3-1, it didn't look like they were getting back into it. Like, they still get piling on the pressure to that Příbram back line, who, you know, had possibly won a tombola to be in that match day squad. But it was very satisfying, but you go, well, this is what this team can achieve.
Mm.
So I was delighted with the result.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, should I just now move on to Saturday, where we had another turnout, you know, good turnout, just under 5,000, I think it was, against Ceylon Taborsko, with away fans. half a dozen away fans. Nice. Brought good their, for them. They, you know, they had that big flag. They brought the big flag.
Yeah.
Like this. And this was a much different game. Do you have any notes on this?
Very few. Please I only free. Have the words, it looked like the toughest test so far.
It was.
Lineup was back to how it was versus Sparta B. Hoffman returning in place of Slushy Boy Brechka. Yeah. And I mean, it's a lovely hit from Paddy Zhitney for the first
after 12 goal, seconds.
After 12 seconds. And it all gets a lot trickier from there.
Yeah. We look good.
Yeah, I'll leave you to, I have one final comment about
for the end.
About the end.
Sure. But, well, I'll leave the end bit, for sure. Yeah, look, I mean, this was a much tougher test. I 1-0 up at Zhitney and you go, you're still got your mind on Wednesday going, well, we could cricket score this, you know. And then actually, you know, it doesn't take that long actually for Taborsko to get back into it. They've got really good, they had really good work on the wings, I think, especially through, again, a player that we've talked about countless times on this programme as well, Djordjic, who plays for them, number 25 for them, Serbian player. Fantastic work to get the ball to Katarzynak, who slots it in, then decides to celebrate by trying to boot another ball into the Zbrojovka stand, which was quite good and got the right people sort of angry. We have a, I mean, I've seen it a couple of times as a possible shot for a penalty actually in the first half for us, which doesn't happen, and Fede gets carded for it in the dugout. I didn't think it was a penalty at the time. Looking back, I still don't think it is. But it was a very one of these even match games that we probably had the best sort of chances. We had a few shots on goal, one that sort of flashed over the bar. Start of the second half, I think that they their centre forward gets free, completely duffs his shot straight at Hrdina, who just needs to sort of parry it. And you know, there was never really so much of a goal threat each side. And what I sort of felt during the match was, look, this is quite a good run out for people. We're still, you know, moving quite well, made quite a few subs in this game. And then I just kept feeling that slowly towards the end, that Tabor were just getting a bit more and more into it without really providing much of a goal threat. You get to around about the 90 minutes mark and you go, well, actually, you know, a point in against this game, this is the best team we've played so far. Yeah. It's not a tragedy.
Also, because Tabor last year were a really, really solid outfit.
Yeah.
Like, very good.
They've
so,
been a thorn in our side before.
Yeah. And we do score 90+3. Scenes.
Yeah,
I can't imagine how it would have been. The only thing I got was an all caps text from Kevin Lamb going, "That's all you fucking win a game, man," or something like that.
Kevin's so, with us all match,
So yeah, but the most pleasing thing was that it was Stander Hoffman heads in the goal, and on the TV coverage, there are 8 Tabor players in shot on the TV coverage. And 6 of them, in an identical movement, collapse to the ground. It's incredibly satisfying. Like, 6 players to a man just go, dunk.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It's also identical to when this happened to us at that end. When we got relegated, I think it was. I can't remember what the team was at this time. It might have been Boleslav or something like that, where we kept holding on. They scored in the 90th minute and everyone just collapsed.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, then the benches get cleared and Hoffman is absolutely mobbed.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah. It looked great.
It was special. So. You felt like you witnessed something special in the stands there, because I think that, you know, I was messaging some people just sort of straight after. What I was doing is messaging Martin Zoll. Hi, Martin, you're probably not listening, from my darts team, who has been throwing his weight a little bit too much, in my opinion, behind a certain other team from Brno.
Really?
And I was giving it the big licks, and he was just sort of like, I'm watching the game on TV, they didn't give up. They didn't stop fighting. And maybe this is this team that just doesn't stop fighting.
Maybe. Which would be a remarkable turnaround for the teams we've seen over the last 5 years or so.
God, I mean, this is the only problem at this point, David, isn't it? Where it's all going a little bit too smoothly right now. Mm. So we're going to get crashing down to earth at some point, but long may it continue.
Yeah. Before we go into where it may come crashing down, some previews, let's have some hot or not. It's time for some hot or nots or nots or hots. Short ones, we reckon, because
the preview on artists is going to be quite long.
Right, okay. I have got one that's kind of neither one thing nor the other. So I'll start with that. It's a not stroke hot, and it's Morecambe FC.
Yes.
And looking like they might be going under... as a going concern. They've been suspended from the league until August 20th.
Yes.
So they will at least miss 3 games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great start.
Yeah.
And it's shown again the gap from lower league football to Premier League in every capacity. Like, the money Morecambe need, or the money that was talked about to take over the club,
yes,
was the amount that would pay Erling Haaland for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous and absurd, but it also shows the kind of, how to put it, like the kind of love and empathy that lower league clubs have for each other, because I don't know whether you saw...
I saw this online, yeah.
So Bue, who have gone through all this already, have been, you know, phoenixed and started again, said, if you're a Morecambe season ticket holder and you want to come along and see football, we'll let you in to go and see Bury. Harrogate have also done this. And Morecambe's kit supplier has said that if you have to phoenix club yourselves, the players will get free kits and everything for at least 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And it's just... Okay, the whole thing is an absolute shit show, but it shows the humanity of lower league football versus the absolute, you know, kind of robotic blankness of the Premier League. So
yeah, for sure. Just the most dodgy sounding organisation of all time, Bond Group Investments, is very much responsible for this, isn't it? From the Morecambe side, who said they were going to sell this
to Punjab Warriors.
Punjab Warriors, who apparently have a decent enough record at this sort of level of actually investing in clubs.
Okay.
And then they pulled out. For some reason, Bond Group Investments didn't want to do this in the end, despite things getting signed, and apparently there's a legal case. And then we're selling it to someone who the consensus is just a made-up name by them.
Yeah, I mean, being unnamed throughout the whole process smacks of dodginess.
And then his name, it was apparently became Jason Cato, was his name after this. I will say one shout out to the usual suspects online on this one as well, where for once it's not necessarily a league's fault. Because I saw like the statement the National League put out and things like this, being like, it's a cup competition, there's going to be a draw, they can't be in the cup this season, we're going to, you know, postpone them for this, it's going to be another sort of test, we're going to postpone some of these games or whatever. Well, and people were actually raging at the National League for actually being lenient. It was like, you know, oh, why aren't you doing so more to protect this football club? But it's like, well, actually, it's the National League that they have to register into. It's not, they're not like a sort of a, it's like a candidate membership until you register and you have to be have all your paperwork in place. Don't have the paperwork in place if you've got, you know, all these outstanding debts. So for once, it's not actually a league's fault. If anything, it's the FA's fault again for not, you know, doing fit and proper tests on organisations. But your aggression is misguided in this case, you know, ultimate footy banter fan page or whatever, you know, you have. But it's a sad case all around.
It is. Have you got something?
I'll give you a hot to cheer you up. We'll talk more about this club very shortly. However, it is the it's the Artist Fan Shop. It's my hot. The Artist Fan Shop appears to just be a van.
It's just a van.
It's just a van with a bit of livery on it, which is not the exact colour of the club's crest or strip. And they've advertised it with this sort of like weird fake graffiti.
Yeah.
It's a little a touch of the Del Boy Trotters about it, so I think they're going to start selling shirts out of the back of a van.
But they're but they've transformed a family club into a huge behemoth, Sam. How have they, you know, how are they just using the back of a van? I don't understand it. Doesn't look like a behemoth to me.
I don't want to jump the gun too early, but there's more where that came from.
Okay, I've got a hot.
Go on.
And it's the Bozshik Arena.
Ah, yes, because you went to go see Honved.
Yes, we went to see Honved versus... Hungarian noises. After the Grand Prix on Sunday, and Honved won 3-0. And their ground is exactly what Sprayovka should be doing. It's great.
It looked nice.
It's really nice. It's on a bit of land that has room for expansion. It's only 9,000-ish seats. But the acoustics are great. The end where the ultras are was sold out and bouncing for the entire time. Outside, they've got a couple of bars, some grass, green areas to sit, a proper fan shop, room for expansion, served by public transport nicely. Yeah. And it was great. It's like, this is how you do a modern stadium for a club that's not massive, but has ambitions to be massive again.
I mean, yeah, as
Honved once were.
Yeah.
You know, they're down in the second league now. The stadium does them brilliantly. It will do them brilliantly when they come up to the first league, but they haven't overdone themselves. They haven't oversold themselves. Mm-hmm. It's class. It's really good.
Yeah. They were very briefly managed by that guy that managed Dundee United for a couple of seasons as well, weren't they? A couple of years back. That didn't go very well.
Don't know who that is, but
I can't remember his name.
Okay, fine.
Great content, right?
Yeah.
I've got a knot.
Yeah.
My knot is Tomáš Horry's red card.
Yes.
So, Tomáš Horry.
This is quite funny, though, to be fair.
If you think, David, punching someone in the balls is funny,
I do think that's funny.
He's going to get banned for a few weeks at least for that. What makes it funny is it gives Slovácko a penalty to equalise and they miss. But this is... because I have no time to do real work, I ended up reading pretty much a long... what can only be described as a long read about this incident and about Tomáš Horry. Like, because I forget, because this... It was a big thing, because this is his first ever league sending off.
Right, yeah.
It's not his first ever sending off, because you might remember he went absolutely mental at the Czech Republic-Hungary... Turkey game.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
And basically, this whole article is basically being like, how the fuck is Tomáš Horry only ever had those sendings off? Because he's a complete liability. Like, he loses his head so easily. And then it just feels like he's getting protected because he plays for a big club.
Hmm.
But yeah, don't punch someone in the balls. And get yourself sent off.
It is still quite funny. Yeah. I mean, just what a ridiculous thing to do.
It's just...
I
97th minute or something as well.
You know, I'm not punching anyone in the balls and I don't want to be punched in the balls. But just as an act of petulance, it's hilarious.
Petulance would be the word I would describe. But do you want to hear about more punching in the balls?
What are we doing?
We're previewing Zborovka Brno against Artis.
Yes.
So. Friday after work, 6 o'clock.
Art is Brno.
There is no other thing called artists on Wikipedia unless it's somebody's name. One of them is a Latvian basketball player. another one is a team that have moved across town. So we will be making the trip approximately 25 metres to the other side of the stadium for an away match. It's actually a home match, actually, because we are the visiting side. And it looks now to be a sellout.
Yes, not of artist fans.
No. we'll talk a little bit more about tickets in a moment. But for those who need to get brought up to speed quickly, there once was a club known as Eskalishen.
I was going to say, if you want to get brought up to speed quickly, there's a tram I can recommend.
Yes, there is a tram with the livery on it. The thing about Eskalishen is, surprisingly, they're from Lishen in Brno. This club was rooted in the heart of its community for decades. This was a club that patiently climbed the pyramid to the second tier, stayed there, became competitive, developed a fan base. And then enter this guy called Igor Fight, who's a multimillionaire. Because of this, Mr. Fight decided that he wanted to play Football Manager a little bit,
yep.
have a little bit of fun. So the team was moved to ground share with Zbrojovka in Kralovo Pole. This is approximately, according to Google Maps, 11 kilometers away from their community base. The team is renamed Artis Brno. Here's your quick quiz question, David.
Okay.
Artis is a backronym. What does Artis stand for?
Okay, there are a couple of answers to this because I think initially they wanted it to work in English. So art is Brno.
Yep.
They have also made it like a sort of shitty acronym where every word stands for something.
It's a backronym is why I'm calling it that. Yeah. Because it's definitely been done after the fact.
And also they have an absolutely awful social media hashtag that they always put in.
Yeah.
City.
Yeah.
City.
It's also on the tram.
Yeah. The two ways of saying you in Czech. Mm-hmm. The informal and the formal. But it says city if you pronounce it in English. So it's all for the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever did this branding for them has absolutely fleeced them of about £500,000 mm-hmm. and is riding off into the sunset pissing themselves.
Absolutely. So,
yeah,
Artis stands for, it goes for ambition, respect, team, inspiration.
Yeah, I love team.
Team, inspiration, and together, or togetherness.
Yeah.
Ambice, respect, team, inspiratse, spojeni.
Yeah.
Artis. They changed their club badge, of course. It's now an off-centre day. Slightly off-centre.
Yeah. Really annoys me, that badge. Yeah. It really winds me up.
I keep forgetting that we're actually the same person after all this time, David. yeah. So, artists were... most of the players were released. they were then replaced with players on inflated budgets, including two Omani internationals. Like we've said before, there is a tram going around town with the artist, a design on it. There have been numerous, and I mean numerous, interviews that proclaim that Brno needs a top team, that Zbrojovka have let this team down, the city down, are terrible, the artist is going to be the next big thing in Czech football, they're going to be up and competing in the, you know, the top flight, and they're going to, you know, yada, 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 yada. So yes, that's basically the backstory of Artis. Their first ever league match was rained off after half an hour.
It was,
against Brugim. I've
forgotten about that.
So yeah. Our first look at Artis was a 2-1 away win at Slavia B, which I didn't pay that much attention to because it was on at the same time as my singles tournament in Hotzen. I know they went 1-0 behind and then they were able to get two back. But let's talk about the fun stuff. They next played on Wednesday at the same time as we were bodying Příbram. They had a 3-0 home defeat to Jihlava. Should have been my hot, really, in front of one travelling supporter.
Yes, that Jihlava guy.
Yes, the Jihlava guy who I will contact at some point because Brojovcast, if he is interested, will be paying for his ticket and beers to the away end for Jihlava. Nice. Against Brojovka.
Oh, yeah.
Just for this fun. Our source inside the club told us that there was approximately 200 tickets sold for this game. This 3-0 defeat was a... Have you seen the highlights at least?
I haven't yet, no.
We'll watch this after the podcast because this is a slapstick 90 minutes of terrible goalkeeping, poor defending. They had one shot on target. Follow this up with an away fixture at Sigma B, where they ended up doubling this. Two shots on target.
Oh, wow.
Igor Fight's plucky band of warriors conceded 5 goals in the process there in a 5-0 away defeat. Have you seen the highlights to this one?
I haven't.
Excellent stuff. Watch those as well. I strongly encourage everyone to go and watch the highlights from both these games. It's a real comedy and errors of ever stuff. So based on that stuff, I'll be interested to see if artists drop Tomáš Vajner from goal.
Sigma B or Banik B?
Bannock B, sorry.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, I did not. Sigma B can't play him. Relegated, weren't they? Freudian slip. So yeah, Tomáš Vajner's conceded 8 goals in 2 games. He is, in my view, directly responsible for at least three goals out of these, including a hilarious back pass, a failure to pass into space, which also releases a Yihlava player. In front of him are some incredibly questionable defenders, including, and I cannot say this slowly and with as much dramatic meaning as much, including AFC Cup winner Khalid Al-Bariki, who doesn't appear to have actually turned up off the plane yet from Oman. I think he was some sort of hologram.
He's one of the two on a reported over 500,000 crowns a month.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah. Beside him, Andre Chodek, who apparently transferred this summer from Cheska Budějovice.
And absolutely that, looks like it, clearly.
I mean, yeah, the word that I had here was competition winner. highlights, I think his highlight for that would be including losing his man twice during the last game, both directly conceding goals in the process. Just for brevity's sake, I'm not going to go in depth into Artis' entire squad because we might be here for some time. The most noticeable acquisition outside of Braiki and Daman, who, like you say, are over 500k a month, is a bit of a legend in Vukadin Vukadinovic.
Yes!
Tried and tested player at this level. He has done absolutely nothing yet. But then it's hard to criticise him because he has got absolutely no service.
Mm.
I said to talk a little bit more about Příbram, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Artists, for me, are the opposite of Příbram. So in the latter sort of bought a license and tried to compete in the second tier with a woefully inadequate squad. You know, and they couldn't get promotion from the third tier in Bohemia, right? On the other hand, artists have attempted to basically buy success with a rationale that the squad of highly paid superstars is going to go win most of their matches, compete at the top end of the league, that all these fans are going to flock to it.
Yeah, are going to suddenly miraculously turn up despite the fact they've alienated their entire fan base.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, that remains to be seen, right? Because like we've had hideous starts to seasons in the past and we've still been able to steady the ship, right? But based on first impressions, the idea that this league was somehow going to be neck and neck between the two sides of the city, it seems pretty hard to believe at this point, right? Perhaps unfair to judge artists on games scheduled at home on a Monday and a Wednesday as well, because it's inconvenient for most supporters. Yet, you have spent thousands, and you know, I'm not even thousands of crowns, I'm talking thousands of euros here, on billboards, press time, kitting out an entire tram is not cheap, and so on, right? The numbers are concerning. So last season, Li Shen kicked off their campaign. Saturday afternoon match with Zlín, drew 0-0, one of the few teams to take points off Zlín, in front of a crowd of 934. Allegedly, 1,624 came out to see the first game that was rained off. It was a game against Chrudim. The total does not take into account the number of guest tickets that are probably a part of that, right? So there's absolutely no way that 1,624 tickets were sold for that match. I know people that were in the ground at that time who said there was no way that those people had turned up. So then after the bounce of winning away against Slavia B, right? Less people went to see the Yihlava game, about 300 less.
Fewer people. So
they've already locked. Every time. 300 fewer. We'll see what happens when they start getting weekend matches. But this doesn't really suggest a team that's heading in an upward direction, capturing the imagination of locals and so on. It's also purely also to do with the fact that we've got our shit together for a change. And but it's also like so many, I mean, for decades and decades and decades, Zbrojovka were the top flight or possibly the second tier team. Li Shen were third or fourth or whatever. So for a lot of Li Shen fans, we were their big team. And then when they started doing well at the top of the MSFL and when they came into the National League, they actually started getting a band of, like, not exactly ultras, but like vocal supporters, a good core of 250 people at that side of the stand or whatever, who really had no connection to Zbrojovka Brno, were just there for Li Shen. As far as I'm aware, none of that has transformed into artists. They're not going to artists. And we have the same sort of thing anyway with lots of other clubs. Like, there's so many lads that support Slovan Rosice, by the way. best of luck to Slovan, who are going through financial troubles and so on. But let the Slovan guys come and watch Zbrojovka. That is their big team. So you have all these fans getting behind Zbrojovka. We're getting close to double what we're getting at parts of last season now.
Definitely, yeah.
As well. Pissed off Leishen fans who don't want to throw their weight behind the artist project. And you're not really getting any sort of bounce in the community at all. And that really leads us to this match. So apparently, our inside source tells us that Fight has promised exceptional bonuses for artists beating Zbrojovka Brno. Don't ever underestimate our ability to fuck things up. I can't say that, you
know.
Can't say that enough, people. But we look good. They don't. Now, we are going to be getting the traditional away part of the stadium, which I'm thrilled about.
I'm really looking forward to that, to watching a game from a weird angle, from the away stand angle.
So, thrilled at that. So we're getting all this bit, and then we're getting basically the left bank, left side of the main stand.
Yep.
Everything else, that side of things, will be for Leishen, Freudian slip, artist supporters. Now, there was a press release at the start of the week saying that if you were a wanting to go to the game and you were in either Zbrojovka colours or you had a Zbrojovka badge on or something like that, you would not get into the artist's home end. Some people were upset about this. I have no reason why they were upset about this. We did exactly the same thing when it was the when they first came up, and we said no Leishen live and stuff like that as well. That's now changed. And that's now changed ostensibly because they could not sell tickets.
Yeah.
This is now going to be a sellout or whatever. I expect us to, like, genuinely, and I'm not just saying this again for effect, I'll be shocked if we do not outnumber artist supporters by at least 4-1 in this stadium.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And a lot of the artist support, and I use that term really loosely, is not going to be people that are actively shouting for artists. It's going to be people who are reasonably neutral about this, want to see the spectacle, big game in Brno, two teams again, and so on. This has all the makings of a banana skin, but boy, they do not look good.
Yes, very much remains to be seen. And if you follow our social medias, we will be very, very much keeping you up to date on all of this, because I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes.
We have managed to get tickets to the away section, which means we also get a T-shirt each, which is nice. A red T-shirt saying, there's only one team in Brno and it's us, which is, okay, fair enough. But that's 6 o'clock on Friday. So follow the social medias at Sprawlcast on Facebook and Twitter, and we will keep you up to date, because it looks like an absolute laugh riot.
Who knows what's going to happen? Well, I mean, same again, please, lineup wise, strategy wise. But yeah, this is going to be something on it. It could be quite cagey, because neither team wants to lose this or whatever. It is going to be a lot. Look, I mean, it's a lot worse if. It's going to be a lot worse for them if they lose than us if we lose. That's the one thing that I would say about this game or whatever, because we have already had a very good start. One of the only 100% so far. Bizarrely, beside Ustina Zlaba, who have had a great go. But we have time, we have a squad, good squad depth and things like that to really, you know, sort this out or whatever. Artists do not look up to speed. And this, you know, for us it's embarrassing, right? If we lose. Mm. But to like artists, this could be the death knell. It could be like, it could like potentially humiliating for them, especially if we somehow are able to notch up a score, which is like a 4-0 or something like that.
Yeah. There's already talk about the manager being booted if they don't get a result here. So
he does not strike me as being the most patient man in the world, Igor Fight. Because like also he feels like he's businessman this, right? It's, we were struggling for a good season and a half, and he's just decided, oh, I'm going to throw all this money into this team, blah, 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 that's what the team deserves, without paying attention to developments that were happening at this part of the city.
Yeah.
And he's expecting almost immediate success. When you buy a club and expect immediate success, you're onto a loser. We've seen this time and time again. So if he gets bored and sacks off the project, not only will artists probably cease to exist sooner rather than later, but also Leishen might have to start all over again.
All right. On that,
see you there.
Yep. On that,
I think that deserves a beer.
Confusingly depressing note. Yeah, let's have a pint. Roof of the
Podcast!
I confused you and then I waved my arms around.
The fuck was that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Confused myself.
It's a bit of the podcast. It's my beer.
Beer of the podcast, yeah.
As always, a big shout out to Pigny Ordinance.
The good doctor.
The good doctor has...
Kenny Duca.
Yes, he sent me a supply. He's come up with the goods yet again.
If you haven't been to the good doctor, go and visit him. Because it's a class place.
He is good. You know, David, you know, is fortunate enough to live around the corner from, frankly, one of the best now beer places, you know, for sort of craft and alternative beers in the city.
Yep.
It's now just become very easy and a habit for me to go there for a beer of the podcast rather than looking elsewhere.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy to shout out the man every time.
Yeah. And he'll go, "Hello, how are you?" Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's always thrilled.
Yeah, he taught me through the new stock. I sampled about four beers, took one for the road, and I'm still finishing off. And then this one. And this one, you'll have to forgive me, David, because I know it's not your favourite style, but I saw what was in it and I had to go for it. So
it's very straw coloured.
So this is going to one of my favourite beer styles, which we all know is Gosa. But this is something else. It's from our good friends at Mazak Brewery,
right,
who have got a Citrilla Gosa, which has calamansi, lemongrass, and orange peel.
I don't know what calamansi and is. It sounds like a branch of magic.
It's
necromancy.
So calamansi, it's also known as calamondin, Philippine lime, or Philippine lemon, is a citrus hybrid cultivated predominantly in the Philippines.
Okay.
And it is basically like it's naturally very sour, and it's used in like condiments and things like that. It is a hybrid between a kumquat and other species of citrus, usually mandarin orange.
Kumquat, bip-a-dap-a-doo-bap, kumquat, da-ba, and so forth.
So this should be really citric, but then orange peel will add a bit of bitterness, and lemongrass just sounds so interesting. And in my head, this works.
Right.
Will it work? So
let's find out.
0.75, we are a 4% ABV, and this was 149 crowns.
Cool.
Which is not too pricey for this style.
Oh, it smells lovely. Very lemony, very citrusy.
I've got high hopes.
Okay, here we go. Oh, that's gorgeous.
That's fucking great.
Oh. It's just refreshing lemonade.
And this is the thing about Gosa as well for this, which is naturally more saline than a lot of other beers. It's got just the amount of salt that you sort of need to actually take away any sharpness. And it's just
really good.
It's not sweet, bitter enough.
Yeah.
Really good, this.
Yeah, really nice.
And it's not over the top in its flavour.
No.
Either. It's not trying to smack you around the chops.
But you can also taste everything. You can taste the lemon, you can taste the orange.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's really good.
And a little bit of lemongrass in the back.
Well done, Mazak. Lovely stuff.
Delighted. Mazak recently, in terms of their sours and Gosas, have really been knocking it out of the park. This was... I'd had my eye on another Gosa before this, actually, which we might save for another time, but then I looked at that one and it was like, this, I have to have this one.
Yeah.
So, very happy with this.
Yeah, lovely. Well done. Thank you, Kenny. Kenny! We've got one more preview to go.
One more. We're just about there, listener.
Yeah. Stick with us as we talk about Prostyov.
Okie dokie. Very quickly, before Prostyov, we don't really pay too much attention to this side of the club. But on Tuesday before this match, we will also be playing our first round of the Czech Cup.
Oh yes,
where we'll be going to Havlíčkův Brod.
I mean, you will literally be going.
I will be. Yes. So me and Liam will be taking the trip. I believe it's actually a 5 o'clock kickoff. So we will. The plan, I think, is to go there, also to liaise with Petr Kučera again, who plans to check out the brewery. So I will be going to the brewery and having a bit of lunch and then going to the match.
It's my favourite brod. It's a really nice brod.
I've not been.
There are a few brods. There's Uherský Brod and, you know, various other brods. It means ford.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Havlíčkův Brod is very, very pretty, and it has a really weird clock on the church.
So this is, so I'm looking forward to
this.
It's good though. Easy to get, enough to get to. So I'll liaise with Liam and get our timings right or whatever. I mean, I think with the weather hopefully holding off, we'll have a nice day of looking around it, trying a few beers. And obviously it's a game where we'll be expected heavily to win. I'm not expecting too much. A chance to go see the team again. But after all that excitement.
Hurl abuse at Dominik Svácek, who will be inevitably keeping goal for us. Yeah.
Give the boy peace. So after all those two excitements, very different scales of excitement, we will be at home, and this time we'll actually be the home side against 12th place's very own Prostějov. Some achievement, Prostějov. They have been 12th for the past three seasons.
Wow.
However,
which, in such a tight league, really is an achievement.
A certain level of consistency, just not a very good one. Lofty heights of ninth for now. Plenty of time to drop down to their natural position. Played 4-1-1, drawn 1, lost 2. Losses to Victoria, Žižkov and Taborsko. No surprises there.
Yeah.
A good win against Chrudim. Chrudim, I don't know if they look as good as they were last season. But they might be taking some time. A goalless draw with Opava. Opava feels like a goalless draw sort of team as well. All very standard stuff. So we talked a lot about artists. So I'll probably be briefer here. This is also not just because we're pushed for time, but I don't know about you, David, but I think that this fixture is one of the most dull that we have in the league.
Both home and away.
Yeah. It's not an exciting fixture in my view. There are perhaps a couple of exciting things to note mildly. Two departures from the club that I'd like to note. Robert Bartolomeo.
Oh, by my mark.
He's going around the houses in this part of the world. He has signed for Kromě Žiž.
Fair play.
We do not encounter Kromě Žiž until November. Boy, they also look bad. This is a real polarizing league in that some teams look really good and some just look absolutely terrible. Mm. So again, all the usual caveats, but if Kromě Žiž, Příbram and Český Budějovice are amongst the bottom three or four, I will just not be surprised. Hoping that artists are there as well, but we'll see.
Clyther is Kromě Žiž.
Yes. Because we've got the Clyther on loan to them as well. Also, Tomáš Jedlička's gone. He looked good last year. He's gone to Dukla Prague, but he's already been starting matches. So again, natural progression of a younger sort of player. Not many exciting players coming in for them either. Vojtěch Hranoš on loan from Sparta B could be good. 19 winger, product of Opava's youth system. Feels like a club that will toughen them up a little bit. Prostějov don't play the most attractive football. They can quite often play effective football. We have had our struggles with Prostějov in the past. We tend to be one of these teams that we batter them at home and then away we have a real tough time, though also they beat us at home last season, I believe.
Yes, particularly when they first came up and they were under the stewardship of former Zbrojovka defender Honza Trousil.
Yes, yes.
They were a very, very difficult side to break down because they were very much in his image, i.e., vaguely elegant occasionally, but fucking hard.
Just the sort of classic one to break down sort of thing. A middle league team, there's nothing that suggests to me that Prostyov are going to really deviate from that sort of 9th to 12th position in the league. But again, we are once more talking of, you know, a team from a, you know, a town on the smaller side of things, not like as small as some of these other clubs.
Yeah, but one 30,000.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. One that has one, again, we say this every season, one that has one of the lowest budgets in the league as well. One where you aren't getting that many people. I think it's about 600-700 to most games. They are fine with
being where just they surviving. Are. Yes.
Being where existing they are. Where they are. Couple of nice results now and then. Cheap season ticket. You take a beer, you take a klobasa, you watch the team on a Saturday afternoon. It seems fine for a lot of their sort of supporters. There's none of this sort of 5-year plans that, you know, teams a little bit higher up in the food chain like ourselves, maybe, you know, sort of deal with. Though, you know, I say higher up in the food chain, they spent most of last season above us until the end. So but that's it. I mean, hope for a good game again. Okay, Saturday at 6, which again feels pretty perfect for games like this. But let's see where we are after the big derby.
Indeed, yes, we will be back doing this every 2 weeks. Apologies for the sort of 4-game delay, listener, but various circumstances happened. But we will be back.
Mostly of my doing.
but we will be back to our regularly scheduled programming from this podcast onwards. And yes, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks.
Oh, for sure, yep. It will be, yeah.
The derby coming up, as we say. Follow us on the socials for all of that nonsense. At Sprovcast on Facebook and Twitter. And we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks very much for listening, everybody.
Bye.
A pak do práce se rázně dáš, proklínáš laminát. Oh, proklínáš laminát. Ostrý vlák na kůže nesnáší, někdy dokonce se musí šít, tak to je laminát. Wow, wow, tak to je laminát. Holka ti z rande rychle pospíchá, nestojí o to, když jí popíchá ten ostrý laminát. A v posteli se vůbec nedá spát, marný je každou noc jíst lát, všude je laminát. Wow, wow, všude je laminát. Máš obludu dvou tak.